All right, good morning, everybody. It's 9:03 a.m. and I'll call this meeting to order. Is everybody okay with today's current agenda? Good. Do we need to officially, Michelle, kind of like vote on that, or how do you want that done?
Not on the agenda, but Supervisor Rabbit is now able to speak. Supervisor Rabbit, the chair has asked if you approve of the agenda.
I certainly do. Thanks for everyone's patience.
All right, and I'm going to
rename. Good morning,
you.
David.
Yeah, good morning.
Chair, if it's all right with you, let's take a second here. I'm going to see if I can rename Supervisor Rabbit.
Sure.
Apparently not. Okay.
You'll have to run that one by my parents, Michelle, which will be helpful.
All right. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you. Michelle, will you take roll call, please?
I will. Supervisor Corsi?
Here.
Council Member Fleming?
Here.
Supervisor Rabbit?
Here.
Chair Tibbetts?
Here.
Excellent.
Great. With all members in attendance, let's move to item 2, public comment on matters not listed on the agenda, but within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board. Before I ask you, Michelle, to play any recorded public comment, I want to let the public know that they can raise their hand via Zoom to speak, or if listening by phone, to press *9 to raise their hand. And so are there any members of the public wishing to speak at this time?
And Janet will monitor the participants and see if anybody raises their hand.
See no hands raised.
All right. I think we can move on to the next.
Michelle, agenda. Do we have any recorded public comment?
We did not receive any public comment in advance, either written or recorded.
Okay, let's move to item 3, the consent calendar. We'll take items A and B together unless any members of the board wish to pull an item for discussion. Are there any questions from the board? Seeing none, the chair would love a motion to approve item A and B of the consent calendar.
So moved.
Actually,
excuse me, public comment. I apologize.
Thank you. All right,
let's take public comment on the consent calendar.
Again, if you're an attending member of the public and you'd like to make comment, please raise your hand at the bottom of your screen, or if attending by phone, press *9. Janet, are we seeing anybody with a raised hand?
I see no hands.
All right, and now we can bring it back to the board.
So moved.
Second
Rabbit.
All right, I'll do a roll call vote. Supervisor Corsi?
Yes.
Council Member Fleming?
Yes.
Supervisor Rabbit?
Aye.
Chair Tibbetts?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, motion carries. Let's move to item 4, today's action items. Looks like we're going to have an update on phase 2 of the scope of work regarding next steps to design and implement a new fund to help accelerate the creation of infill, mid to high density housing near transit jobs and services, and amenities that build healthy, complete communities. Michelle, would you introduce the item, and Ulysse, Olivia, and Daniela?
Sure, I'm going to share my screen. Give me a moment. All right, so I'll provide just a very brief introduction while Ulysse, Olivia, and Daniela are getting teed up for their presentation. As you're about to see, I and the team from Forsyth Street Advisors, along with Red Council And nonprofit and specialized tax experts have been busy exploring options, really doing research and development for the legal structure and governance of the RED Housing Fund. Our situation here is unique, and we've expected all along that the fund would not be a one-size-fits-all plug-and-play model, but rather a custom-made, scalable structure that can adapt to changing public policy goals as time goes on. What we are striving for is a collaborative, innovative housing fund, really a solution that's designed for maximum impact and built to last, like the housing that it will produce. We've been looking forward to sharing our progress and recommendations for next steps. And with that as an intro, Ulysse, Olivia, and Daniela, over to you.
Thanks, Michelle. And I can kick us off. I'm Olivia. I'm joined by my colleagues, Ulysse and Daniela. So thank you all. It's great to see you again, and thank you for making the time. Today's presentation is just going to focus on kind of where we're at in evaluating the alternative legal structures for the fund. So how we actually go about creating the entity. And within that structure, what are the implications for the governing body, the board of directors, or some sort of committee? What does that look like, and what are the next steps associated with that? Next slide, please. So just for a brief agenda, we'll update you all on where we're at with the various work plans we've been tracking. We'll have a discussion with respect to the two legal structures we've been focused on, as well as what moving those structures forward in terms of creating a governing body actually look like. And then we'll end with next steps and timing as well. Next slide, please. So here are just a few of the work plans we've been pursuing, and just to provide a brief update with where we're at. As you know, earlier this month, we received authorization from the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors to execute a forgivable loan agreement based on terms that are consistent with the term sheet that was presented. Similarly, we've been working with the City of Santa Rosa to move the process for terms for their loan agreement forward, both with the hope of closing on capital from the city and county later this summer. And then on the RED and RED Housing Fund side of things, today we're meeting with you all after reviewing legal structures and kind of deciding what the pros and cons are associated with that so that we can receive some sort of direction of which structure we should be pursuing as the preferred option. And then moving that structure forward, what does that look like in terms of actually creating the governing body associated with that structure? Next slide, please. So just to review, these are the two legal options that we've been evaluating and discussing over the past few months. Partnering with a community development financial institution, or CDFI, and then the alternative is creating a new corporation, a 501c3. So if the fund were to be created sort of by partnering with the CDFI, that means it would most likely be created as either an LLC subsidiary or a supporting entity to that corporation. And sort of by being able to access that CDFI certification, that means that the fund itself would be able to have immediate access to different types of capital that are only designated for CDFIs that it wouldn't have otherwise been able to. So that means that whatever entity the fund would be partnering with, the CDFI has already applied to US Treasury and received certification. And that means that the fund could potentially be eligible in accessing different types of capital, either directly from Treasury itself or from foundations or financial institutions that allocate certain pots of money only for CDFIs. And we've been in discussion with three different CDFIs over the course of the past few months, just sort of discussing what a partnership could actually look like. And then the second option is creating a 501c3, a new corporation, and this corporation would apply to the IRS for federal tax exemption using a form 1023, of which a draft version was included in the meeting packet. And so we've been working on kind of just putting in the initial groundwork required to get that application moving in the event that we actually need to end up submitting it. And so alongside the 1023, we would also be required to submit certain governing documents, the articles of incorporation, just to sort of prove that the entity itself has been created, as well as the bylaws and sort of any other supplementary documentation as well. Next slide, please.
All right, so, sorry, am I echoing?
No, you sound fine.
I'm echoing to myself, so I'm going to have to change one thing and then I'll go on.
Ulysses, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. Just let us know.
We can also do this a little bit back.
So can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I apologize for that. So we're on the CDFI side, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So just to update everybody on where we were with the option of partnering with the CDFI. As of the last meeting that we had with the board, we were directed to keep the option of pursuing a partnership with the CDFI available. And so along those lines, we continue to have conversations with potential CDFI partnerships and explore what that partnership could look like. And continue to explore, you know, there's a few different sort of threshold issues to explore. Some of which are listed here under the mission alignment component on this slide. We'd have to find a CDFI that feels like their mission aligns with what we'd be trying to achieve with the Red Housing Fund. And the CDFI would also need to be able to merge its existing governance, management, operating structure with whatever our Red Housing Fund requires. So there's certainly a lot of merging that would need to happen. And we also, pursuant to these further discussions about what a partnership might look like, had additional discussions with CDFI advisors, legal counsel, accountants, others, to see what exactly the fund might look like within the structure of an existing CDFI. So that raised several different options for what that partnership could be like. There are options that include setting up an LLC subsidiary. There's an option that includes setting up a 509(a)(3) supporting organization, which is a specific type of 501(c)(3). There's also options that could include sort of running the fund as a program within an existing CDFI. We realized that there's a lot to figure out along this path. And, you know, although all of those things presumably could be figured out, there's a process that we'd have to go through with any of these CDFIs that we'd want to partner with. ...501(c)(3) path. So things like we'd still have to apply to the IRS for tax exemption for the specific activities of the fund. And we'd also have to explore exactly what the costs would be. We go to the next slide. Okay, so these are just a couple of the options that we explored with respect to how a CDFI partnership might look like. Here you can see option one would be setting up an LLC subsidiary governed with by the CDFI's board of directors, with credit decisions being made by the credit committee, staffed by the RED, by appointees of the city, the county, and the RED itself. Option two is setting up a new supporting 501c3 that's a 509a3 that has its own board of directors. So we went down the path of sort of trying to figure out exactly what this might look like. And the reality is that at this point, because of the additional conversations that we'd have to have with the CDFI, the additional buy-in that we'd have to obtain with the CDFI, this is a much longer timeline than the alternative that we've been pulling forward in parallel, which is the 501c3 as a standalone option. And to talk more about that, I'm going to turn it over to Daniela.
Next slide, please. So when we look at the 501c3 option, one of the desires we heard from the RED was to have more control. And so because the 501c3 is a standalone entity, it can really ensure that the RED Housing Fund's mission is aligned with the goals of the RED through its governance documents. It also has a little more control over recommending board members, which we'll get into on a later slide. And also, under a 501c3 option, the RED just has more control over timing of moving the fund forward because it's not relying on another organization to go through its own internal approval and staffing processes. So if we are to move forward with forming a 501c3, upon approval by the RED board, a number of activities would happen for the incorporation and setting up the operations of the fund in the next few months. The first thing is we would file articles of incorporation with the state, which is what creates the actual entity. And then thereafter, an initial board for the RED Housing Fund would be appointed. And that board could then adopt bylaws, which provide the key provisions for the governance of the fund's activities. And then later in the summer, we would be able to submit a Form 1023 application to the IRS, which is what requests federal tax exemption on the fund's activities. I just want to note that it could take 6 months to over a year for the IRS to finish their review. However, we could still do lending while waiting for that tax exempt determination, particularly on affordable housing properties, but the board would make those decisions. And then finally, another item would be as we finalize contracts with third-party service providers, the fund's board would also need to approve those contracts and budgets. Next slide, please. And so under a 501c3 structure, forming the board is one of the first steps needed in order to move this entity forward. And so just in terms of the composition of a board, what we'd recommend under the structure is a board of 7 board members. 3 of those board members would be appointed by and represent the city, the county, and the RED board. So each of those government entities would be able to appoint one board member on their behalf. There would also be 4 board members who are independent, and the RED may recommend those members, but they can't actually appoint them. So the appointment of the 4 independent directors could not be controlled by any government entity. But again, the RED would be able to recommend who those directors may be. And so at all times, the board must consist of a majority of independent directors, which is why you see 4 independents and 3 directors that are appointed by the 3 agencies. And the reason for this is because under a 501c3 structure, the fund and the board need to be seen as independent and not as an instrumentality of a government entity. And there's 2 reasons for this. The first is if the fund wants to raise additional investments from the private sector, such as corporations or foundations in the future, they often require that the funds they invest in be independent entities who can make strong credit decisions apart from a government entity. And secondly, if the fund wants to apply to become a CDFI in the future, which as Olivia mentioned earlier, if you become a CDFI, it basically allows the organization to apply for advantageous funding from the US Treasury, low interest loans and grants. And so CDFIs by law must be independent and not considered part of a government agency. So next slide. And so based on the sort of this information, particularly I think control and timing of being able to move the 501c3 forward, We are recommending that the Red Board authorize staff and Forsyth to exclusively pursue the 501c3 option as the home of the Red Housing Fund. And so on the next slide, Olivia and Ulysse will provide a little more detail on some of the roles and the composition of the proposed board for this fund.
Daniela. So with respect, under the sort of umbrella of a 501c3, the board will be the primary governing body for this entity. And so that means that the board itself is going to have sort of certain corporate, strategic, organizational responsibilities associated with the general management and oversight of the fund. And so we've listed a few of the responsibilities that could fall under this umbrella, sort of governance-like decisions, so adding any new board members or removing board members from the fund's board, amending or adopting different sort of policies. So if the board at one point wants to change the bylaws of the fund, that would be something that they would need to vote and agree to do, or if they want to adopt any sort of additional policies to help guide and create a framework for the fund, the board would be able to vote and decide to do that itself. There are capital and financial responsibilities associated with being a board of, or director of this board. So if the fund were to solicit any new types of capital, the board would need to agree to those term sheets as well as those agreements with additional funders. So this is, for instance, if the fund is seeking to raise additional grants or loans from philanthropies, foundations, corporations, the board itself would be the one actually agreeing to close on that capital. There's also sort of a financial oversight component, so guiding the board through the audit and 990 process annually, and importantly, the lending and investing decisions of the fund itself. So any sort of decision and evaluation of projects, and then deciding ultimately what projects do or do not get funded. This would be underneath the fund's board of directors, or if the board chooses at some point to designate this responsibility to a subcommittee, they can do that as well, but it generally falls under the parameters of what the fund's board of directors can do. So with that in mind, we've listed just a few ideas that you all can think through in terms of thinking about who makes sense to actually sit on the fund's board. And some of the other funds that Forsyth has worked on, folks with sort of development backgrounds, representatives from the philanthropic or nonprofit law sectors have been represented on the boards that we've worked with, as well as people from sort of a public finance background, as well as advocacy. These are just a few of the kind of experiences that may be relevant and helpful in allowing the fund to make strong credit decisions. And I'll turn it over to Ulysse to discuss more of the specific parameters for what an actual membership body would look like. Who are the types of individuals that would be staffed on this board? Next slide, please.
All right. So here are the appointees that we are recommending that be made to the board of directors of the new fund. So from both the county and the city, we're recommending that each of those appoint one individual each to the board. We're also recommending that the Red Board appoint one director to the board. And we're also recommending that the Red Board recommend an additional 4 independent directors who would be technically appointed by council. That would get us a total board of 7 voting members. And what we're also recommending is that on top of that, if anyone from the Red Board wanted to be a part of the board of directors, then the way to do that would be for them to join as a non-voting advisory member. So we're recommending that the Red Board could consider having 1 or 2 additional advisory members on the Red Housing Fund's board of directors in a non-voting advisory capacity. That could be either one person on behalf of the Red Board overall, or could consider having 1 city and 1 county appointee for the advisory seats.
Elise, okay, let's go to the next. Can we go back to the previous slide for just 10 seconds? Mm-hmm. Thanks, that's great.
And we can go to the next slide.
So just in terms of timing, sort of a recap. So today we're requesting to move forward on creating a 501c3. We've also provided a draft of key documents in the packet for your reference, which include articles of incorporation, bylaws, and a draft 1023 tax exemption application. Keep in mind, all three of these documents are drafts, but give you a good idea of what those documents will look like. In June, we'll come back to the board and ask the RED to appoint one director and recommend two independent directors for the fund, along with approving the formation documents. And once those formation documents are approved, we can then file the articles of incorporation in late June or early July to actually form the entity. And then by July, we will have, the RED Housing Fund will have its initial board and can start making approvals on behalf of the fund. And then in August and September, once the city and county execute their loan agreements with the fund and have gone through their internal processes to appoint their two directors, they will be appointed to the fund's board. And at that point, we will have a full 7-member board. And then thereafter, once we have that full 7-member board, the fund will be able to finalize contracts with third-party service providers, and the fund can then start the process of issuing a funding application for developers to apply for loans. And then next slide, please. And so this is the last slide, and just again, next steps. Today, we're requesting that the RED board direct staff and Forsyth to pursue the creation of the 501c3. And then in June, we'll come back to you to, again, form the entity and get the initial three board members appointed. And we'll open up to questions.
Thanks, Daniela. Does any members of the board have any questions?
I don't have any questions, Jack, but I just wanted to thank Michelle and the group from Forsyth for the briefing that we had recently. I can't remember when it was, but I feel like I'm up to speed on this and appreciate the advance work.
I really appreciate
I definitely second that.
Through the chair, I really appreciate the extra time and study and thought that the RED board has put into this. It's been a little more time consuming than the earlier stages of building up the RED, but you all have just become great students of what it takes to deploy a housing fund. Great partners.
Through the chair, if I may.
So seeing no... go ahead, David.
Yeah, I just want to just say thank you. I think that we're well served by kind of being so thorough in analyzing, you know, which direction to go. And I think, you know, we all know there's pros and cons, but to really kind of thoroughly vet those, take our time, make sure that we feel comfortable moving forward. I'm supportive of the way we're moving. And I just want to say thank you to Michelle and Forsyth for kind of shepherding us through that. I think it was valuable. Thanks.
Seeing no further questions or comments, let's go now to public comment. If there are any members of the public wishing to speak, you can raise your hand via Zoom or by pressing *9 if you're participating over the phone. Let's see. Michelle, is there anybody or Janet, is there any members of the public wishing to speak at this time?
I see no hands raised.
Any recorded comment, Michelle?
We did not receive any recorded or written comment in advance of the meeting. And I will let the board know.
Okay.
We do distribute our meeting materials and give notice of our meetings to a group of stakeholders, about 100 stakeholders that have been tracking. So we are reaching out to our stakeholders and always appreciative of any input, insights, comments that they share with us. So we do have light attendance today. And, you know, that with that commentary, we did get a stakeholder to raise a hand. Janet, can you
slide?
Sure.
Okay.
That's going to take just a second here.
Greetings. This is Gregory Farron. Can you hear me?
We can. Yep.
Okay. My only question is, on a previous slide, you talked about appointing four independent directors and you described the skill sets. The universe of those of us who have all those skill sets, you know, is varied and large, I assume. My question is, how will you go about recruiting and selecting those folks if anyone is interested in putting their name in as a nominee?
And it sounds like that concludes Greg's comment.
Yeah, I'm done. Thanks.
Thanks, Gregory. Any further comment?
Janet, I don't see any additional hands raised. Do you?
No, I do not.
Okay, why don't we bring it back to the board then for discussion, and actually it'd be helpful if you could put up the slide of recommendations so the board can answer directly, and I'll just go through and ask members of the board to provide input based on the recommendation that you are requesting. But before we do that, Michelle or Daniela, anybody from Foresight team, do we have any idea yet how we're gonna be making these selections? Kind of to answer Gregory's question is, or how are we going to be notifying folks? Do we know yet?
Yeah, I, because Greg is right. There is, we're looking for very specific skill sets and actually some level of expertise. And Forsyth gave a sense of what the skill sets are both in the staff report and on one of the slides. I would encourage Greg, if he has some interest in this, to reach out to me and I can tell him what we're looking for, see if he remains interested, and then we can take it from there. But I think what will happen is we're going to narrow down a list kind of internally and bring some recommendations back to the Red Board. Forsyth, does that capture what, did I accurately capture what we have in mind?
Yes, and do you mind if I just clarify something about what's on this slide?
Sure.
So I also just want to mention, you know, we do need four independent directors, and what we're requesting for in June is for the Red to recommend two of the independent directors. Just because we need an initial three-person board just to adopt bylaws and some of the very big preliminary approval processes. But the second two, the final two independent directors can be recommended later in July. So just to think about the timing of if people are interested in reaching out to Michelle, you know, there's two that need to be appointed by late June, but then there's another month for the final two. So there's a little more time. That's all I have.
Thank you for the clarification, Daniela.
Chair Tibbetts?
Yep, go ahead, Chris.
Thanks. I'm just wondering if we have ways to outreach into the community to create a pool that may be larger than what's in our own brains. I think it's worthwhile to let people know that we're looking for this type of person and find out who's interested in as many ways as we can.
I think that's a reasonable request. And like I said, I have a standing list of about 100 stakeholders that have been tracking the Red, very interested in the Red. Not all of them have the expertise or the skill set we're looking for, but that would be probably a good group to circulate something with. For the first two independents, we need to move pretty quickly because we want to get the LLC established, get the initial board established, and start the wheels in motion on, you know, getting to the point where we can get some loans out. So we're going to move quickly toward our June board meeting on June 21st, maybe for a more, for the process of more outreach. Maybe that makes sense for the two additional independents that will be appointed later in the summer.
I would encourage you to create a deadline that you think is reasonable for us to have a pool for the June meeting. And then we can set another deadline for the other two. But I think that your email list is a great start. I, for one, will be putting out the word, as much as I can, and I would encourage other board members to do that as well. I understand this is an important and fairly skill specific spot that we're looking to fill, or spots that we're looking to fill. But I always think that a wider pool is a better pool.
And I appreciate your partnership in getting the word out. So I'll use my list of stakeholders and then Red Board members to the extent you've got an appropriate list of stakeholders to distribute to. That would be great.
Thanks, Michelle. I appreciate that. And would you, when you send out your message to stakeholders, would you share that with us so we can share the same message across the board?
Yes, and Foresight has given some guidance on the skill sets that we're looking for and the types of board members that populate the boards of other housing funds that they've been instrumental in establishing. So I think that can give us a framework for what we're looking for, and we'll include that as we do our outreach.
Sounds like a good plan. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Director Corsi. And just since we really only have one option, it seems like, to exclusively pursue the 501c3 option, I assume you're good with that direction.
Are you looking for a motion, Mr. Chair? And if so, I will move that we direct staff to pursue the creation of the 501c3.
Second.
Michelle, are you looking for a motion or are you looking for just feedback? I apologize. I'm treating this like a study session, but I want to make sure we follow what you need.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's really a little bit more than
it is an action item, isn't it?
Yes. And you have the recommended actions on your chair notes, also on the agenda. I could read them if that's easier.
That would be great. I see. Can you read them? And then perhaps one of the board members could choose to move it.
All right. And board members, this is on the page 3 of the agenda. So recommended actions are: 1, receive the Red Housing Fund update; 2, authorize the exclusive pursuit of creating a 501c3 as the legal entity and home for the Red Housing Fund; and 3, direct Red Council and Executive Director to identify and recommend independent persons for the Red Housing Fund's board who possess a skill set or experience that complements the fund's goals.
So because of Chris's comments, and correct me if I'm wrong, Director Corsi, maybe if you would be willing to move items 1 and 2, we can fashion maybe a third action item, because I share some of your concerns, Director Corsi, about doing a large application, and I have some ideas on how to do that.
I'll move the first two items.
I'll second those.
All right, I'll do a roll call vote. Supervisor Corsi?
Yes.
Council Member Fleming?
Yes.
Supervisor Rabbit?
Aye.
And Chair Tibbetts?
Aye. Great, thank you guys, motion carries. So with regard to item three of the action items, Director Fleming or Director Rabbit, do you have any ideas or comments or questions about how to do the selection of the independent board members?
Well, I think we've had, we've had these instances in the past. Sometimes it's a kind of create a criteria of different expertise that you're looking for and then fill it that way. It can either be done formally or informally, in my opinion. I think that if we do it collectively, especially at the beginning, it isn't just picking one individual, but it's kind of picking the entire body and then making sure that the expertise balances itself out and you have a well-rounded committee. So I'm pretty confident that we can do that without having to take extraordinary steps. I think, obviously advertising it, putting it out there, making sure that we receive and notify everyone who wants to be, considered is important. But I think we have the means to do it going forward. And I apologize because I don't have the internet. I don't have anything in front of me. I'm just stating how I think we could get that body assembled.
No, we appreciate the feedback, Director Rabbit. Director Fleming, do you have any ideas or comments?
Yeah, I don't know how Director Rabbit is making it without the internet. That seems like kind of a being out there. I hope. There is something that came to mind, and I don't know if this would complicate it, so feel free to push back if you think this would complicate it. But I really like how the California Redistricting Commission has this setup of, of being very specific at the beginning and prescriptive. And so where we say, we're gonna have each of these, like how we say we're gonna have each of these three entities select somebody to represent them. And then perhaps we do a simple solicitation that has some parameters, and we recommend two people who have a lot of technical skill, and then recommend to the remaining five, or to the existing five members, to go out and select two more people that they believe would fill out the board. So people who may have specific technical skills or specific lived experiences, or represent communities of interest that may not be represented exactly by the technical qualifications or the bureaucratic. And I don't mean that in a pejorative sense, bureaucratic, but that represent the bureaucracies that comprise the joint powers agreement. So that's how I would do it. And I don't think that would make it too complicated. So we would say, here's the requirements for the first two. Please submit your interest and we'll recommend from there. And then those five shall select the next two with an eye toward diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay, great.
Forsyth,
sounds good. So am I here? Go ahead, Michelle.
I'm sorry, through the chair. That is kind of a version of what Forsyth has recommended. And if it's all right with you, Chair Tibbetts, maybe we can get their insights on how that would work from their perspective.
I just wanted to mention one thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to hear Forsyth.
Sorry, the one comment I just wanted to make was, so at all times, the board must have consist of more independent directors than the three appointed directors. So I like the idea, but you can't officially have a board of five, which consists of the three appointed directors by the city, county, and red, plus two independents, who then appoint the remaining two, because at that point in time, when you have five board board members, you'd have three that are appointed by a government entity, and that means the board's not independent. And council can step in here if they need to clarify anything, but I think we just have to think about, you can't officially have a board of five to then appoint the final two. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, I think that
hearing you say, Daniela, is that we have to appoint the first three independent board members, correct?
Well, what we're recommending is to start, you'd have a board of three, which includes the red, the director appointed by the red, and then you'd have two independents. So at that point in time, you always have, again, you have two independents and one government appointed. So you're still considered an independent fund, an independent board. Then at a later date, when we appoint the city and the county board member, you also would have to appoint the two independents at the exact same time or before, so that you always have more independents on your mm-hmm. board than government appointed.
Yep. Through the chair, may I? So I'm hearing two things in addition to the legal structure, which is that we have to have a greater proportion of independence, which is one which was brought up by Mr. Furon and seconded by Director Corsi, that we want to have a broader process. So I think that that's not difficult to achieve by a commitment to outreach. And the second that was I was adding on, which is it would be helpful, I believe, to executing the fund if we have a combination of technical expertise as well as a representation from the broader community. And so to that end, if we brought on the two in one, then we could suggest that that we do use a combination of technical as well as equitable criteria to evaluate or suggest evaluations along with our recruitment. And I don't think that would hamstring us too much. But I'd be interested to hear from Michelle or the other directors or forces if you believe that that would be too cumbersome.
Chair Tibbetts.
Yep, go ahead, Chris.
It looks like what the plan is that in June, we'll be making these three, initial three appointments. One of those, according to the background materials today and our briefings, is to appoint the red executive director as the red board appointee. The other two, we will make that decision at our June meeting. And all I'm looking for is that we have a deep pool, and we can make those decisions then when we see who's available. I appreciate what you're suggesting, Councilmember Fleming, but I think that we can get there without setting out the rules for getting there. I think we can get there just by making sure that we have a lot of applicants. And I'm actually comfortable with if we put this out on our own channels, if Michelle gets it out to her email list of the stakeholders of the red, I think we'll get a pool from that.
I'm comfortable with that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm gonna chime in at this point. I agree with Director Corsi. From my perspective, Michelle, I just want to see a wide pool of applicants come through the gate. I think it's incumbent upon us to make sure, especially being a new government entity that isn't well known, to really make sure that we get that word out there so anybody who might be interested has the interest or can apply. And then that you and the staff make your recommendations to the board in June. And the board will certainly take into consideration the criteria that Director Fleming laid out for us, but also we'll have access to seeing the complete list of applicants. So if we potentially disagree with the staff's recommendation, we can have a discussion about other applicants and why we're considering them. So I fashioned a motion that I'll read. And if any members of the board like it, they can adopt it or feel free to put something else forward. So I changed action item 3 a little bit to read, direct Red Council and Executive Director to develop criteria for independent board member positions and solicit a large pool of applicants from the community, share application with city-county partners for further distribution. Staff makes recommendations of applicants, board approves, establish a deadline for review.
I'll second that.
All right, I'll conduct a roll call vote if that's where we are, Chair.
That's it.
All right. Let's see, Supervisor Corsi.
Yes.
Councilmember Fleming.
Yes.
Supervisor Rabbit.
Aye.
Chair Tibbetts.
Aye.
Chair Tibbetts, I just have one more suggestion, if I might.
Sure.
Michelle, as you craft this announcement, which I don't expect to be long and detailed, but it would be a good idea. One of the things that people always ask when I'm asking if they're interested in boards and commissions and things like that is, you know, what's the time commitment? And on this, it might be a good idea to include what other commitments or responsibilities come along with it. And one that comes to mind is financial reporting and whether that's public information or not. That will or might make a difference for some people.
All right. I will get a sense of the time commitment from Forsyth since they work with a number of other housing fund boards. Because we do want people to know what they're getting into. Absolutely. And I think as we draft the criteria, we also need to keep in mind that real estate transactions can be opportunistic, and we need, in addition to all this expertise and good representation, we need a board that can assemble quickly, move quickly, jump when we need them to jump. So we'll make it pretty clear what we're looking for as we just draft something to send out.
Very good.
This has been a great discussion. I really appreciate it.
Okay, seeing no further comments from the board, let's move to item B, review and consider approval of assessments on members of $50,000 per month for fiscal year 2021 to 2022. Michelle, will you be presenting?
I will be, and I'll let Daniela, Olivia, and Ulysse know that they're free to go, free to stay, whatever you want to do. And Sue, you're also free to go or stay, whatever you'd like to do. And thank you all for being here for the...
Through the chair, a hearty thank you to all of you for this amazing work.
All right, I'm going to share my screen. It'll take just a second. Thank you, Chair Tibbetts. So I'm going to start with just a really quick review of the Red's financial picture. You're all familiar with it by now, but this is rhetorical and more for the public that might be tuned in or might watch this recording. In August 2018, we received a $1 million grant from the Hewlett Foundation to launch and build the Red. We've also received support from Kaiser Permanente, Community Foundation Sonoma County, Rebuild North Bay Foundation, MidPen Housing, Comcast, and Burbank Housing, as well as a recommendation for funding from the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, primarily to offset costs associated with launching the new housing fund. I do expect to end this fiscal year with a healthy fund balance of approximately $276,000 or $176,000 if we factor in a $100,000 general fund reserve. And that fund balance will carry over to the next fiscal year budget. Naturally, sustainable funding is necessary for the ongoing general operation of the RED and accomplishment of its members' housing goals. To date, there's been no request made to the founding members to contribute financially to the RED's operating budget. During a budget study session at your February 24th, 2021 meeting, several RED board members contemplated that assessment on members should be considered to ensure that the RED is fully funded through the end of fiscal year 2021-2022. The joint powers agreement that governs the RED states all fees, costs, and expenses incurred by the agency may be funded from, and it goes through six Roman numerals. We'll focus on Roman numeral number six today, which says, subject to the unanimous vote of the board, assessments on the members to carry out the activities of the agency, generally applicable to all members. In February, board members also recommended establishing a general fund reserve with the executive, with me suggesting $100,000 as a target reserve. Best practices from the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada recommend a total unassigned general fund reserve balance equal to 1/6 or 2 months of annual general fund operating revenues. In the case of the RED, that would be $71,000 in change based on our preliminary budget for the next fiscal year. However, given the RED's relatively dynamic budget forecast for fiscal year 2021-2022, a reserve of $100,000 would provide a stronger buffer against economic uncertainty and provide for special one-time needs programs. The final budget for fiscal year 2021-2022 can incorporate board direction with member contributions of $50,000 per founding member for a total of $100,000, which would retain the general fund reserve. So here's what the budget looks like in the next fiscal year if we factor in member assessments and a general fund reserve. The reserve is represented here in the column estimating our year-end position for the current fiscal year. I think my arrow you can see there. And the member assessments would be added to the revenue section of the final budget for the next fiscal year. And that's represented here. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to take any comments or questions.
Questions from the board? Seeing none, we'll move on to public comment. If any members of the public wish to speak on this item, they can do so by raising their hand via Zoom or pressing star 9. Michelle or Janet, do we have any members wishing to speak at this time?
See no hands raised.
Michelle, do we have any recorded public comment?
We received no public comment written or verbal in advance of this meeting.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the board for discussion. Seeing none, the recommended action for this item is to approve assessments on members for fiscal year 2021-22 at $50,000 per member and incorporate a $100,000 general fund reserve into the final budget. Is anybody willing to make that motion?
I'll move that.
Second by Rabbit.
It was moved by Director Corsi, seconded by Director Rabbit. Michelle, will you take the roll call vote?
I will. Supervisor Corsi?
Yes.
Council Member Fleming?
Yes.
Supervisor Rabbit?
Aye.
Chair Tibbetts?
Aye.
Thank you.
Terrific. Motion carries. And that is it for our agenda today. I guess I will let everybody know that Monday, June 21st at 12 o'clock is our next scheduled board meeting. Does that work for everybody?
Works well for me. Thank you.
You're muted, Director Corsi. Does he hope that we can hear you?
Sorry, I'm new to Zoom. that conflicts with budget schedule for us. We're not likely to be still working on the budget that second week of the schedule. But I'm also hoping not to be in town if we're not working on the budget that week. I don't know if Supervisor Rabbit has the same ideas or not.
What's the date again? It's what Monday is it? June 7th?
June 21st.
June 21st.
So I'll be fine with moving it if it works for staff.
And just to let staff know, I if we're not in budget, which I doubt we will be, I will be available.
Gold star for Supervisor Rabbit. Well, I hope for your sake you're not in budget for a second week.
No, I appreciate that too. We are planning a camping trip in August this year. It's later than usual, but so I'll be missing things then. So it's I have to hold my gold star in the band.
I am Michelle. How's a week later? What would that be? June 28th? Does that work? Because I think Director Corsi should be part of the June conversation. I think it's going to be a big one.
Let me get my schedule up here. Got too many things open on the screen here. It certainly, and not that it would matter, my schedule would have to adapt to what this board wants to do. But anyway, it looks clear for me. The only thing I need to look at is if any of you have conflicting meetings. SCTA is typically on Mondays. I don't know what day MTC is.
Generally. MTC is on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Supervisors Corsi and Rabbit.
I could only do the morning of the 28th. I can't do the afternoon.
I can do, let's leave it on the 21st. I'll make sure.
Okay. I mean, it's fine with me to do any Monday as long as I'm done by 3, because the supervisors make me come to work at 3. So you have to get a special dispensation. They'll probably have to argue with the union and then it'll probably be a whole thing. So.
All right. It sounds like we're keeping it on the 21st. And I did talk with the county administrator's office. They are pretty confident that budget hearings will wrap up the week prior. They're even speculating they might wrap up on Thursday, but we'll see. And Supervisor Corsi, I'm sorry if this interrupts any of your plans. Just wear a GoPro and be somewhere with service, and we'll go along for a bike ride or something with you.
No problem. I'll be here.
Still remote, Chris, so hopefully this doesn't delay your plans. Okay, June 21st it is. Thanks everybody. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.